It's time for Lunch Hour Reviews.
He was licking me.
What?
He was licking me!
Lunch Hour Reviews.
This man ate till he burst.
So he did die by eating.
Lunch Hour Reviews.
I'm tainting me.
Tainting me!
It's feeding time.
I'm Darren.
And I'm Mindy, and we are the Rants Macabre, a part of the Fangoria Podcast Network. For more information about the network, including other programs, how to follow the show, and find past episodes of the Rants Macabre, please visit fangoria.com.
So in this episode of our Lunch Hour Reviews, we're doing a little housekeeping. We're doing some catching up.
Yeah, because we've been doing more than just watching American Horror Story.
Yeah, and the last one, I feel a little bad that this is two in a row you've got to edit, but
that's all right. I'm because next week I'm going to be spinning all day on Sunday, so I can't.
That's the training class.
Yeah.
Okay, Mindy's a spin fanatic. You guys,
I am. If anyone follows my Twitter, they know because that's all I talk about. It's the only thing I talk about.
Every time I turn off the lights, there's this woman waiting in the shadows.
I see her too.
So not that long ago, I went out to see the movie Lights Out.
The theaters and everything.
Yeah. It actually turned out to be just, I was in the city, I wanted to see a movie, and yeah, that's what is out. So yeah. It's kind of, all right. For those of you who don't know, Lights Out is the film that was based on a short, very, very short movie posted on social media.
Right.
It was the idea, the original short showed a woman turning off lights, and in that split moment between light and dark, it's revealed that a shadow figure is there, then she turns the light back on, and it's gone.
Right.
Off and on again until the thing, like, sneaks up on her, and it's kind of like red light, green light, 1, 2, 3,
they're
running at her. And so that spooky short movie was optioned as a feature film. Lights Out was directed by David F. Sandberg, who worked with Eric Heisserer. Eric Heisserer on the screenplay, but David Sandberg is also the same guy who made the original short film. So making a feature film out of a short, like maybe 2 minute film is pretty wild. It's not a great movie, but it's watchable.
I mean, that's how it kind of used to be. I think in the old days of Sundance, when the Sundance Channel was first coming around, you would see like a short film, and then a couple years later, someone would make it into a real one. There were so many of those.
Yeah, I think these days you get a lot of those as like bonus content on DVDs and Blu-rays, where like the filmmaker kind of shows where they started.
Yeah,
each one of us is being haunted by this thing.
So it was produced by James Wan. It stars Teresa Palmer, Gabriel Bateman, and Maria Bello was kind of the big get. I was like seeing her.
Teresa Palmer is no, like, you know, she's...
I didn't know her before this.
Because of that Take Me Home Tonight.
Okay.
That movie that I keep talking... I talked about it like a couple episodes ago, too. That's what Dan Fogler was in. That was the same movie.
Oh, okay. So is she the female lead?
Yeah.
Because she's a good actress. She's very pretty.
Yeah. She's,
but first and foremost, like, her performance is very good.
She's good. She was also in Warm Bodies, is where you would know her from.
Oh, was that? Okay. Yeah. I saw that. I tried to forget it.
Yeah.
But what came to mind is someone who we had on this podcast, Alex J. Mann. He's been doing social media specific horror movies. So after the first one, I think they get contacted to do, you know, what in essence winds up being like promotional material, but it's got a spooky lean. So he did one for GChat. He did Snapchat.
Right.
He did, I think the latest one is the Instagram movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun stuff. And I think he's definitely someone who like has the talent and the ambition to make a feature film.
Right.
And it's kind of exciting that like a lot of people have seen his very short movies. And, you know, it seems like only a matter of time before he gets the chance to expand.
And we got to have him on our show.
Yeah. He was on Lunch Hour Review episode, I guess, about a month and a half back.
Yeah.
So the synopsis for Lights Out goes as follows. When her little brother, Martin, experiences the same events that once tested her sanity, Rebecca works to unlock the truth behind the terror, which brings her face to face with an entity that has an attachment to their mother, Sophie. And that's Maria Bello. So the story kind of deals a lot with mental illness and the sort of survivor bonding that a brother and sister do when they're in a house with someone with like a substantial mental illness.
Okay.
And then it goes from there. Like I said, it's not great. It's entertaining. It's worth a watch. The end is pretty predictable and it kind of falls apart a little bit. But there were some great effects and some great sort of concept work in terms of the light spectrum.
Because I had guessed kind of a lot of what was going on as you sort of told me the tiny premise. And you were like, yes, that's absolutely right.
Yeah. There's no wrong guesses.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's one to check out, I think, more like when it arrives at Netflix.
Sure.
It's worth checking out.
I don't know. If I'm going to talk about like mental illness or tell people to watch a film about mental illness, I'm going to go with 2003's Tarnation because it's one of the best things I've ever seen about living with someone
Tarnation.
With mental illness. It's actually a documentary using found footage that this kid has done all his life.
Oh,
I mean, he's a man.
Sounding more familiar.
Yeah, and
We've
it's all his
it,
life.
Yeah.
And it's one of my most favorite films. And so like, I don't want to hear any like... I don't need a Babadook sitch. You know what I'm saying?
Keep the lights out.
So recently, because I kind of dictate what we watch in my house, because of the show, we have to watch specific things. You know, I've been on this American Horror Story bender. My husband, like, sometimes just wants to choose his own movies. So he got to choose the last two movies that we watched.
Are they both movies in front of you that we've already talked about?
There are these movies that I'm going to talk about today.
That he chose?
That he chose, yes.
Oh, fascinating. Okay.
Yeah, he chose both of these movies. The second one that he chose, I'll save the first one he chose for the end. I don't think he'll be choosing that many more films. Let's just say that.
He can't be trusted.
Gets no,
the remote
he
control
makes bad
away
decisions.
From him.
There were some great movies like on this list that we have to watch, and he chose... kind of down at the bottom, but it's all right. I'm going to start with 2015 Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse,
mm-hmm.
which, okay, it's not good. It's not good, but it was really funny.
My summary, it's not good.
It's not good.
On the poster
but
next
I
to one
laughed
star.
So much. There were certain things that
okay.
I laughed so hard it was ridiculous
okay.
at.
So it's a R-rated horror comedy?
I think it was actually PG-13. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
There are some boobs. But there's not a lot of cursing.
I think if there's boobs, it's rated R.
Oh, there yeah. was some big ones. Does that matter?
Rated double
does,
R.
Does the size matter in the rating?
You know, tonight's the secret party, right? Everybody except the douchebags and the neckerchiefs will be going. This could be the night of our lives.
Tonight, we're going to show what being a real scout's all about. We're just going to stand here, or we're going to go save the world.
Kelly to Rogers.
He looks like shit.
He set him on fire.
He tried to eat me.
All right, scouts, let's kick some zombie ass.
This one was directed by Christopher Landon, who's actually Michael Landon's son, which I thought was like
wow, okay.
kind of bizarre and strange. But he actually was a writer for Disturbia and Paranormal Activity.
Okay.
So that's kind of where he comes from. It's a fan of horror making this horror film. It's ridiculously silly. The zombies don't really follow any rules, which kind of irritates me.
Okay.
There is David Kirchner is in it, and he's the scout leader. And
okay.
so whenever he shows up, you kind of know what level of movie to expect, but you know you're going to laugh as well.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair thing
I
to
David
say.
Kirchner.
And it's here's
is it Keckner? I think it's Keckner.
Oh. I don't know. It's like an O-E...
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to tell from the spelling. It's just you hear him enough in interviews. It's
I
Keckner.
See. Here's the IMDb kind of summary. Three scouts on the eve of their last campout discover the true meaning of friendship when they attempt to save their town from a zombie outbreak. Literally, that's the entire premise. That is the premise. There are three friends.
At least that's not a run-on sentence. Usually, any synopsis on the IMDb is just like, get ready for a long one.
Yeah. No, and it's pretty straightforward.
Take a deep breath before you start this.
There's some scenes, though. Cloris Leachman is in it. And so whenever Cloris Leachman
wow.
shows up, I'm always like excited to be there.
Okay.
There is literally a scene... that is a zombie fight scene, probably 3-4 minute long fight scene, choreographed fight scene, to Dolly Parton's 9 to 5.
What? Oh, okay.
And I thought to myself, like, it was amazing, and I never knew I wanted this until I saw it, and then I go, this is amazing. This is the best thing that I've seen in a while. Working 9 to 5.
What a way to make a living.
There was that. There's some great one-liners. There's an opening scene with Blake from Workaholics.
Okay.
And he does like a lip sync dance opening scene. And it's weird and has nothing to do with anything. But it's like, it's, you know, it's stoner comedy.
Yeah.
And thinking, you know how like I love opening, Biodome.
The opening to Zombievers is completely unrelated. It's just two guys in a truck. And yeah.
I love that scene in Zombievers, though. Yeah. The two guys in a truck. That's excellent. But this is, yeah, it has nothing to do with anything really. It's just this weird opening scene. So I think it was honestly made like, they thought, okay, we're going to have a zombie fight scene to 9 to 5. We're going to have a stripper zombie over here. We're going to have really big zombie boobs here. We're going to have – there's a great scene where one of the characters has to jump out of a window. They all have to jump out of this window onto this trampoline. And they're going to use the trampoline to get over the walls, and, which I've been watching a lot of the Olympics, so this doesn't seem unusual to me. And one of them can't go down on the trampoline, but he's kind of out the window, and he has to hold on to an old man zombie dick, which stretches.
To lower himself
down. That's just what's holding him into the window. This is how he's keeping his balance. It's the most absurd scene, but again, it was a scene where I didn't know I wanted it until I saw it, and I go, yes, I like this. I like this a great deal.
And now it's all you can see when you close your eyes. I do. I enjoy the premise idea that, like, who better prepared than Boy Scouts, whose mm-hmm. motto is always be prepared. And yeah, all right, I'm in. I'll have an eye out for that.
It's really dumb, but it's really funny at the same time. But it's very misogynist. It's everything you'd expect from a Boy Scout zombie bro kind of movie.
Okay.
So I'll warn you with that. But if you have nothing better to do and you want to laugh at some ridiculous stuff that doesn't make – it's completely absurd, then that's the film to watch.
Okay. I also went out and saw Ghostbusters this year, the all-female cast that's been hotly debated online by people of all sorts who have problems with this. I adore – I even like Ghostbusters 2.
Right.
Like, I am a fuck the world. I like what I like. But when they announced this, I was like, Paul Feig is fucking brilliant.
Right.
Like, Bridesmaids was a lot of fun. Of his, actually, my favorite is The Heat. Spy was also really fun, and Paul Feig is the same guy who got Freaks and Geeks on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a really smart, really funny guy, and so I was all kinds of thrilled, and I liked the movie, and frankly, I'm not the guy to do this review. Recently, the Faculty of Horror did a long episode on it, and coming from two women who are the perfect age to have grown up loving the Ghostbusters, but sort of very clearly recognizing that it's a fucking boys' club...
Mm-hmm.
Finding frustration in, like, the female fandom. And then this movie is all about, like, the empowerment, and it's great. I found frustrations in terms of the editing, and it turns out that Paul Feig, in an interview with Den of Geek, explained that the first cut of the movie was 4 hours and 15 minutes
Jesus.
Long. So it is meant to be a tentpole summer blockbuster, regardless how bad the first trailer actually was, but you could get a sense in the film that, like, they hacked through a lot of material, especially in the last act, to arrive at the conclusion. And so I found some frustrations there. No frustrations with the acting or the writing, except for wedging in the original Ghostbusters. And I think with the exception of Ernie Hudson, they were just kind of dropped in there for,
yeah,
like, a little bit of eye candy. Frankly, like, I'm you know, maybe the third biggest Sigourney Weaver fan in the world, but they just threw her in there in, like, a post-credits kind of cameo appearance, and it was just awkward and didn't relate to any of the stories of the character, and it was just kind of, I could have done without that. Like, just let this be an autonomous piece of work. But, yeah, I mean, it was all kind of homage and deference, and I get that, but I didn't need to see any of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm rooting for this movie. I hope they make a part two, because I think it'll kind of embolden them to make the movie they want to make. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was interesting that the movie has found an impossible time getting a release in China, because it deals with ghosts.
Oh.
And they've got really strict laws about, well, maybe it's not like on the books laws, but it's just like a, you know, sort of social thing that they don't tolerate, like, ghost stories. It's
right.
Such a strange taboo to have, but as it turns out, like that's a huge market that they can't tap into. So the international market, it's going to be hurting a little bit. And I don't know. I feel bad for them that way. But I'm rooting for the movie. For anybody debating whether or not they should check it out, you absolutely should. And I loved all the ghost designs. Like there's a lot of great material in there. I think recently the Women in Caskets posted that their next episode is going to be on Ghostbusters as well. And all so, right. Yes, you should check out Women in Caskets. It's a feminist horror podcast, and they're going to have a lot more insight to Ghostbusters.
All right. The last one was one of the first ones that Jackson, now that he has this ability to choose the movies, he was given this power, and he chose 2016 Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies. Or Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. I don't know why there's so many
ands. It doesn't
ands.
Matter.
It's
All
irritating.
He was rating was Zombies.
Yeah. Now,
he went on Zombies.
This is a book that I was actually given 3 copies of this book because Jesus. My friends thought I would like it so much because my friends are not my friends. I got it in 3 different gifts. And so I was giving them away. And then I felt bad after I actually did read a copy of it that I was giving it away to people
you
because
gave them
I hate
all
it.
Away. You had to go to the library
yeah,
to get it.
I, firstly, I hate Pride and Prejudice. I fucking hate that book. The zombie part was the only part that I liked because they, you know, cut
it, was like
it
page
in
per page.
Yeah,
right?
They like, they would cut in the straight text out of Jane Austen and then put little zombie parts in it, which I loved the zombie parts and the fighting. That was great in the book. But then I was like, wait, Pride and Prejudice is terrible and I fucking hate this. Like, I hate this story altogether. So we watched the movie. Why? Why not? If I hated the book, I should love to watch the movie. And I didn't.
I wasn't
was
focused all that much on the criticism, but this between the bad criticism and the quickness with which it was in and out of theaters didn't bode well.
No.
It began with the Black Plague. Within weeks, the dead began to rise.
This cannot be.
Hunting for human flesh. Now, the few of us that are left have only one way to survive. We must bring the fight to them. I wanna get your water. I've been training for this my whole life.
The fairest wifely choices be right here in this room.
My daughters are trained for battle, sir. Not the kitchen.
There was a few parts of it that are kind of interesting in that the zombies can talk, and they're kind of not fully dead until they eat a bunch of brains is kind of the idea.
Hmm.
And so they would wander around and kind of be hidden amongst the other people. And the way that Darcy kind of told them apart was he had carrion flies, and the flies would go after the dead people.
Okay.
And that was kind of cool because it was an old-timey steampunk idea of, you know, practical finding out zombies.
And using bugs for, you know, everyday kind of thing, like having maggots clean out a wound.
Exactly. So I kind of liked that part. That was kind of cool.
That's a weird comparison.
There is a really cool intro, which is an illustrated history of how the plague of zombies happens.
Okay.
And that would have been a great short, the end, because it's done with animation. It's really clever. It's really concise.
Yeah. Or but even then pull back a little further and do like a plague era zombie story.
That would be amazing.
Fucking bleak. That would be really cool.
That would be really cool.
But this is not that.
No, this is not that. So then it opens up to like the rest of the movie, which is terrible. The only thing that I think is kind of cool, the Bennett sisters are all badasses in this. Like, they all, if you're in society, you have been trained either in China or Japan or different places to train them for physical fighting. So all the ladies are super fighters.
Okay.
And I like that part. I like the idea of
if
women
in
empire waists and like samurai swords. I don't know. There's something I really enjoy about this. Right. It's pretty neat. I mean, that is pretty cool. That's where the coolness stops. I mean, it's so bad. The writer of the book was Seth Graham Smith, and it was written in 2009, and I get that it's like kind of a cool idea to splice this.
It shortly followed Abraham Lincoln, Vampire
there
Hunter.
And then there was a bunch of these at this particular time. And like it's a cool idea. It's like fanfic, sort of.
Sure.
But I read fanfic on my phone, and I don't expect it to be good. I don't.
Right. And you don't talk about it, and you keep it to yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. But here I am. Jane Austen wrote the book Pride and Prejudice in 1813. And I'm not a Jane Austen person. I'm not. Yeah, you seem like neither. You might be.
No, I read more than my fair share of Cliff's Notes in high school because I can't. I don't have the patience.
Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah.
This movie was directed by Burr Steers, who actually wrote and directed Igby Goes Down.
That movie I loved.
When I discovered that, I was like, no, no. And then I made sure. Like, I double-checked myself.
Although,
I don't remember
that guy coming up again since then.
He was making this terrible, terrible film.
Well, they weren't making it for 15 years.
Maybe.
Or 10 years, whatever it is. But
maybe. It's so disjointed. It stars Lily James, who I've known from... what is that? Downton Abbey? That's what I know her from. Mm-hmm. Matt Smith is in it, and he's actually hilarious.
Oh.
He's the best part. He's the pastor, kind of the parson guy.
Okay, I just rewatched... No, I'm sorry. I had seen bits and pieces, but he's in Terminator Genesis in a very small role. But,
yes.
Yeah.
Which then ties in... Cersei Lannister is from Game of Thrones is in this, who was in the other Genesis... Not Genesis. She was in the other Terminator TV show for a while.
Oh, yeah. Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Yeah, yeah. And Cersei Lannister's in it, and so is Tywin Lannister. So that was like the biggest excitement I got. Was like, oh my God, the Lannisters are here. And it's not funny, and it's not good, and it's terrible. And then I turned it off.
Did you finish it?
No, because I didn't want to. The TV gods told me no. Buffering started to happen. And then I said, I don't need to do this anymore. Thank you. And that's how that ended. The end.
Okay. To bring the mood back up, I have a surprise.
I didn't bring the mood back down.
Well, I felt bad that you were having to cover a terrible movie. So we're having a little bit of an unboxing.
Ooh, our buttons are so cool.
Yeah, we just received our merch, our swag.
Swaggity
we got
swag.
Stickers, buttons, and
there
refrigerator
they are.
Magnets.
So cool.
They don't have to go on your fridge. Put them on your car. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, I don't care where you put them.
Okay, so the first people who will get a crack at this are our Patreon supporters.
They're
and
so
this
cool.
is this is our cue to the listener that we don't really go into details about the work environment too much because, well, frankly, our boss could be listening. But hey, I'm probably a couple weeks out from getting fired, so who gives a fuck?
Yeah, right.
They're moving our desks around. They separated Mindy and I.
Yeah, now, we got totally separated, which I think was on purpose.
All the We could have been sat next to one another. They made a conscious effort to put me at the far side of the room. But in any case, we've still got G-Chat. So,
yeah.
For as long as I'm still here, there's that. But this is all to say that, hey, you, the listener, you could actually help us maintain this podcast. Even if I get fired, it'll be hugely helpful to have Patreon supporters sort of picking up some of the bills slack. So find us on patreon.com/rantsmacabre and join us. So the first three Patreon subscribers are going to get the stickers and buttons as a big thank you for joining us.
Right.
And there'll be a $5 tier hurdle. So you can join us and get the free content for a buck or more a month, and we appreciate every penny.
How do we ship to the Isle of Man? See, here's the thing.
Pony
we have
Express.
So many overseas listeners.
Yeah, yeah,
it's gonna be
a little tricky to send.
I don't
out
actually
these, like,
know how the mail works.
Care packages. Well, they give us addresses for starters, and then we write that address on an envelope, and then we bring that to the post office, and the person says that'll be $1,500.
Oh, okay. I can't put a stamp on it or my good wishes.
Can I sing you a song for the price of this billing postage?
It'll be good, I swear.
So on Patreon so far, Patreon listeners have gotten a full produced episode where we talk about Night of the Living Dead. And that was a lot of fun because we sort of went into the history of the time and the sort of context and also the sort of modernization, bringing it up to date at the time for 1990s, Romero produced remake of Night of the Living Dead by Tom Savini directing. And so I've really enjoyed that episode, but it is the very first, Patreon exclusive content. I posted, the song that Mindy and I did together a couple of years ago, and it is the bonus track on my album, Apophenia, on Fangoria's label. What else? Oh, we did, a sort of watch along with, Deathgasm that's on Netflix now. And I learned some lessons doing that, I think, in the
future. Watch-alongs are hard.
Yeah. Probably the biggest lesson is that we should all, watch it first and then sort of come with prepared yes. material. Because even with four of us there, there were several moments where we were watching it. So live and learn. Turns out Mystery Science Theater is a lot fucking harder than it looks.
It is. It is.
And also a little note, I am now one of the producers, and what that really means is I am recording and editing the Pumpkin Pie Show that's also on the Fangoria Network.
Which is so fun.
It's Clay McLeod Chapman and Hannah Cheek doing the bulk of the performances. They occasionally get a guest, but Clay McLeod Chapman is a writer who we've had on this podcast a number of times to talk comics and films, mm-hmm. and he's prolific. He's got a lot of output. Even for those of you with kids, he does The Tribe, a kids series
right.
of like kind of scary but fun kids books. But yeah, so it's been a thrill for me to join them in the recording process and kind of set up all my gear and hope to God it works the
yeah,
way it's
right?
supposed to.
It's always a terrifying thing.
It's nerve-wracking. But even recording this podcast, we've gotten pretty lucky in terms of not losing stuff.
Don't say it out loud.
Knock on wood. but check them out. The Pumpkin Pie Show is on the Fangoria Network as well.
Be sure to join us on social media. We are on Facebook at The Rance Macabre. We are on Twitter at Rance Macabre. We are sometimes occasionally on Instagram. We need to do better with that.
I guess
and now that
consistent.
We don't sit next to each other, we can't do like stories and videos because...
Yeah, it's a little trickier.
Which is probably why they split us up.
I'm just going to point the camera from my end of the room and go, Mindy, say something funny.
And I'll have to yell clear across because literally, listeners, they have put us on opposite sides of a room which spans a city block.
It does. And yeah, there's a plane of glass in between. It's like a long distance prison visit. It's very buffered.
It's so lame.
But yeah, we're on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music, so you can listen to us on any device,
yeah.
be it Apple
Stream
or otherwise.
Stream us from the website, whatever.
Yeah, it's there too, and I've put together a little bit of artwork for every episode, and maybe extract content. I really had fun on our last American Horror Story Freak Show episode that recorded sort of old-timey commercial for the Muter
It sounded
Museum
so good. Now you're obsessed with it. Now you're just looking for reasons to talk with that old-timey voice, too, I think.
She's not kidding. I absolutely am. And believe me, it's always in the back of my mind, like the next time I get to be an old-timey guy with, like, you know, the straw boater hat.
Right.
Like, just, yeah.
And so if anyone needs an actor for specifically old-timey talking, Darren Rosario, that's the man.
You've been listening to The Rance Macabre, a presentation of the Fangoria Podcast Network, produced by Darren Rosario, that's me, and Thomas DeFeo, and executive produced by Ken Hanley of Fangoria Entertainment. For press opportunities, advertising inquiries, and information about The Rance Macabre, contact Ken at fangoria.com. This is me, Darren, signing off.
This is Mindy. Thanks.